I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
A throw downfield. Yes! McCormick's got enough.
Your quarterback is really not good.
This is life in the big city. You're not in Utah anymore. And whatever's going on in his skull, it's just that when his first read is covered, he's lost.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The one to McCourty, just throw the ball out of bounds, man.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Patriot safety Jabril Peppers. Still to come, Emmy Award-winning actor Tony Hale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you missed any of our first 2 hours, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, Jabril Peppers of the New England Patriots. Guess what? We're going to re-air right as soon as this third hour is over on the Roku channel, channel 210, where you can also see our show on demand through the Rich Eisen Show collection. We chop up our show not just into special video segments, but also the entirety of our program is available whenever you want to watch it again on the Roku channel, Roku channel 210. And the Roku channel is free on all Roku devices and Samsung Smart TVs and Amazon Fire TV. And of course, the Roku app and then the RokuChannel.com. So we're online, we're on mobile, any mobile device, we're on television sets, we're on the radio terrestrially and Sirius XM and Odyssey. You can stream us. You can listen to us on satellite. You can listen to us terrestrial radio. There's YouTube. There's at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter. My goodness, we're unavoidable. Tony Hale is going to be in our studio in just about 20 minutes time. I adore this man. I love everything that he does. Veep, Arrested Development. And this show, season two, The Mysterious Benedict Society on Disney Plus. The entire family watched season one. Can't wait to start unfolding season two, which has already hit your streaming screens on Disney Plus. 2-episode premiere last Wednesday. New episodes coming every single Wednesday on Disney Plus. Excited to chat. We got a good celebrity true or false for Tony Hill.
Can't wait.
This will be great. Meanwhile, I woke up today with the news that the Indianapolis Colts fired their offensive coordinator, Marcus Brady, just one game into the Sam Ellinger administration after benching Matt Ryan. Yesterday, we went off the air and Roquan Smith gets traded from the Ravens, from the Bears to the Ravens. And now the Bears, seemingly in sell-off mode, acquire Chase Claypool from the Pittsburgh Steelers for a second-round pick next year. There's still some dispute as we're on the air at the top of hour number three, whether it's their own pick or the one they got for Roquan Smith, the second-rounder from the Ravens. And that's after the Lions and Vikings make a trade in division for T.J. Hockenson, their top tight end. And Detroit is now a Minnesota Viking because they put Irv Smith on IR. He might be out for the rest of the regular season. And a simple question on a day like today, and it's not even over. The trade deadline is 2 hours from now as we're currently speaking. I think Stephon Diggs said it best in March. Hell going on? The hell going on? This is a nice little hell going on day.
Because
on
top
of it, the Brooklyn Nets and Steve Nash part ways. So it's trade deadline day in the NFL, and the Nets say, hold my beer. And Steve Nash says, I'm Canadian, I'll do that. The decision was mutual between the two sides, according to Woj. And you're like, okay, yeah, somebody getting fired, it's mutual. Yeah, well, have you seen what's going on in Brooklyn?
That's funny. He is Canadian. That's a fact.
Yeah,
he is Canadian.
Yeah, I snuck that one in on you. Huh?
Okay. I wasn't ready for that.
I snuck that one in on you, huh? So, I mean, have you seen what's going on in Brooklyn? They won last night, actually.
Where Brooklyn at?
They beat the Indianapolis Pacers, right? The Indiana Pacers last night.
Yeah, they finally got a win.
They lost to them a couple nights ago, and they get this one in the books, and they win this one, even though Kyrie's laser focused. He's balling out.
He's balling. So is KD.
Despite a whole bunch of folks sitting in the front row saying fight anti-Semitism t-shirts. you know, with those T-shirts on is what reads on their T-shirts. You know, as some of you may know, I had something to say on that subject matter yesterday. Kevin Durant's balling out.
But they play Chicago tonight?
Hey, man. So we said it going into the season. After Kyrie opts in and then Durant within 24 hours opts out, and they say that nothing had that, both of those things are mutually exclusive. Then we find out not only does Durant want out, but if he does stay, because Joe Tsai, the owner, is like, you know, and Sean Marks, the general manager, is like, hey, look, we're happy to accommodate you if we get something of value back for you. And you're kind of the best on the planet. And you got 4 more years of contractual control left. We're not going to get equal value for you, but feel free. Let's see how it goes. And, of course, nothing happens. And so apparently he would come back if Nash is gone. That was the storyline this summer until we found out there was some sort of Yalta-like meeting here in Los Angeles amongst everybody involved from Durant's side of things and the Nets side of things. And they're like, yeah, let's just all be friends. We'll run it back. We even had our friend, the drop from Bobby Cannavale, our longtime friend, as this was what we said would be the slogan for the 2022-2023 Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
That's it. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Great.
You know, I opt back in and I opted out, but I'll opt back in. And, you know, I wanted the coach gone, but he says he's staying. And we're like, the Nets are like, yeah, we'll trade you if we get equal value for you, but we didn't. So let's all stick around and do it. And everybody came out of that meeting saying, we're on the same page. Let's go. And they start 1-5. Or 1-4, right? And then they win last night, and now Nash is gone. So, yeah, mutual parting the ways. I think he's like, this is nuts.
Yeah,
get me the hell out of here.
Out of here. Yeah.
And I imagine they'll have to pay him off.
Yeah.
Oh, and
handsomely.
As if this doesn't get any crazier, because the owner of the Nets felt compelled to say what Kyrie's promotion of a movie and a book on his Twitter account, and as we know, he has a major problem with that being called a promotion. The owner of the Nets felt compelled to call out Kyrie Irving on the spot on Twitter. And that's part of all of this, even though they can win basketball games, I guess, with everything being a backdrop. And Durant said it's not a distraction. So I guess that would mean that you'd have to look at the coach and say, good job to keep all that out of your locker room, huh? But there's clearly a lot of this iceberg we're not seeing, as if this isn't nuts enough. The rumors are hot that the coach that the Nets are looking to hire full-time is the coach that the Celtics had all the way to the finals last year and then suspended for the year because of who knows what. We still don't know.
Still don't know.
Ime Udoka is emerging as a strong front-runner, according to Shams Charania, for the Nets' head coaching spot. The sides have begun discussions, and the Nets are in the midst of their search process, continuing to do due diligence. Woj says the Celtics would be willing to let him go for another job in division. And they're like, you take him. You know what? You took Kyrie from us. Kind of worked for us. Take them all when we don't want him anymore. Smudge that. And I guess whatever went down with Udoka and the Celtics, the Nets are willing to countenance. And I have no idea what that was. Wow. Yeah, sure. Why not? It still fits, I guess. Yeah, sure. Why not? Jacques Vaughn, the great Kansas Jayhawk from back in that day, he's the interim coach. And by the way,
rock shot
of some of the most talented players in the sport on planet Earth who aren't playing in France at present, right? On this team. The talents in that locker room, one would think, if they could put it together. So, honestly, I don't know what's going on. I have no insight personally to what's going on in that locker room. I don't know who does. I don't know who does. I don't know if anybody does outside of that organization. They are keeping things kind of tight there. And but the coach is gone. He almost had 100 wins in 3 years there. Not even full complete seasons either. But get out. And he's like, I guess, happy to leave. And we'll see what happens with Jacques Vaughn. And could the coach of last year's Eastern Conference champions, who was surprisingly suspended for the year on the outset of the season, out of nowhere, even though the Celtics said they had been investigating whatever was going on behind the scenes there for weeks, if not months, yeah, that guy suspended at the outset of the season, just 3 weeks into the season, could wind up on the sidelines of the Brooklyn Nets? Like right away?
Yeah, how does like, that work? Would a suspension carry over to another team?
No, that's a team suspending. The league didn't suspend him. The Celtics suspended him for something we still don't know.
So
but they were like basically
him?
The entire time, trust me.
I think they would trade him.
They would
Brooklyn.
Trade him.
Yeah.
And I don't know, probably for not much because clearly the Celtics were willing to not have him for the year. But whatever they felt compelled to suspend him for the year, the Nets will obviously know and willingly hire him. So whatever did go on behind the scenes there, the Nets are adding that onto the pile of things that they are telling their fans they're willing to countenance while also calling out. I don't know, man. The hell going on is right.
That's a Mount Rushmore tweet. Of all tweet.
The hell going on. Diggs did that the day that Tyreek Hill said I want out and then was accommodated within 2 hours by Kansas City back on March 23rd.
March was so much fun.
Well, that was the – but again, with Brooklyn Nets, I mean, if they get Udoka, what will that press conference be? So what happened in Boston? Can't say. Well, if you can't say, did you at least know what happened in Boston? Yeah, I know what's been happening in Boston. But it was bad enough for the Celtics to suspend the guy for the year. But you're ready to hire him just right away? Yeah, that's the case. Well, why is that? Well, we can't talk about it. Is that what the press conference is going to be? You know what they should do? If that's the press if that happens, that's the press conference. They should have the Kyrie next question thing on a loop and just sit there wordlessly in front of microphones and just hit that button. Next question, next question.
I can't wait
question.
For Nick Friedell sitting in the front row to not let up and not relent.
Wow. So that's what's up.
Wow. Okay, here's a tweet from Josina Anderson. As of 8 a.m. this morning, I'm told, quote, it was looking like Green Bay was going to offer the best deal for Claypool for a league source.
And then the Bears swooped
and
in?
And the Bears swooped in
Dude,
and nabbed him.
If the Bears not only acquire Claypool, but throw a major stink bomb into the direction up the toll road, okay, up the toll road, into Green Bay because they traded the 43rd overall pick. Apparently, it was their own pick.
Yeah.
And that pick currently is one slot better, one singular slot better than Green Bay's second round pick. If this is in fact what has happened, where Gutekunst is on the phone with the Steelers saying, we want him, and here's what we're going to give him, here's what we're going to give you, and they call back and tell Brian, no, we're going to send him somewhere else. Where to send him? Oh, Chicago. Oh, man. I may have to call up our friend Pat and see if we can simulcast his chat with Rodgers if that's actually the case.
There you go. 30 seconds ago, the Nets plan to hire Ime Udoka as their new head coach.
I understand.
Dude.
Boston granted the Nets permission to speak with Udoka and will allow him to leave freely.
Get out.
So no compensation?
Dude.
What is
I'm
happening?
I'm telling
what
you, man.
What is going on?
They are like, please go. We don't want you to coach here anymore. We don't want you around here
we want
anymore.
You associated.
Please go in division
wow.
and be the guy that our direct major competitors feel is the best fit
for two of the best players on planet Earth and Ben Simmons and everyone else there. They feel like he's the special secret ingredient. You can go with no compensation. And now the Brooklyn Nets in the press conference, it will go just like this. How did you come about feeling confident to hire this man when the Celtics felt this way about this man, about a subject matter that they consider so serious and his violation so serious that he's now allowed to be your coach after being the Eastern Conference champion coach? How are you feeling so confident in hiring him? Well, we've talked about it and, you know, and we feel comfortable. We feel comfortable. And then the answer will be, well, what do you know what he did? Yeah. Well, the Celtics said it was so bad that he's now your coach and you got him with no compensation. You just let him go. What do you have to say about that? Well, we can't talk about it. We're turning the page. And then Udoka, he'll be made available. Can you talk about it?
No. Ongoing investigation.
And whatever it is, et cetera, et cetera, was so bad, the Celtics let him go. And hey, Joe Tsai, I'm just saying this too. No matter what you said about Kyrie Irving's tweet that apparently has now been deleted, linking his 4+ million followers to a book and a film filled with anti-Semitic tropes, and you saying you don't represent that, the fact that Kyrie's still playing for you after his last press conference performance. Many folks out there still feel you can countenance anti-Semitism. You had a bunch of fans, paying customers, sitting in the front row of your building last night in Brooklyn, New York, wearing a shirt saying fight anti-Semitism. People already feel you're willing to put up with that for the sake of winning basketball games. And you're now going to own whatever Ime Udoka did, too. And you could sit here and say, he said this, he said that, but your direct competitors, the ones who won the conference last year, are willing to hand them to you. Must have been something that you're willing to now countenance as well. Accept. As well. Man.
Okay, but once you get past all of that in the press conference, the fact of the matter is the Brooklyn Nets just highly upgraded their coaching situation. And now they pose a real threat.
I guess if you want to just talk about the basketball world, sure, you can.
Eventually, it's going to come down to that, and it's going to be this team just got themselves a very good basketball coach.
Okay.
Just saying, eventually that's what it's going to come down to. Like,
the Steelers just traded for Will Jackson III. What is going on? Why are these teams that stink
just trading players,
acquiring assets?
The hell going on is right. All right, let's take a break and enjoy the company and the stylings and the loveliness of our next guest, Mr. Tony Hale, as he's known on Twitter and Instagram. I love the show that he's currently in, the Mysterious Benedict Society, and cannot wait to chat with him when we come back. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code Eisen when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code Eisen. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Mr. Tony Hale is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our terrestrial radio audience just returned. We just saw a clip of The Mysterious Benedict Society, season 2, new episodes Wednesday night on Disney Plus. And again, congrats on show.
Thank you.
My children and I and my wife, we watch it together. We love it.
That's so nice. I love it too. And I love, I mean, thank you for watching. It's such a beautiful show.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are working on it, just the artistry around it, like the hair, makeup, production design. But it's also, in addition to being such a great adventure, the messaging, I just get really excited about, especially this season, the complicated brother.
Yes.
He has reinvented himself as a self-help guru selling happiness.
Ah.
And just the, and then Benedict represents kind of, you know, he's kind of a mess, but it's cool because you really see the difference between artificial happiness and authentic happiness. Mm. And like, to me, I think that's a message we all need to hear.
I love it, man. And again, season 1 is when I watched it last year. They're based on the best-selling book series by Trent and Lee mm-hmm. Stewart. And my kids knew about it and like, let's watch it. Mm-hmm. And I'm into, because I love you. And,
yeah,
and,
thank
and
you.
That's the, seriously. And
we're gonna hang out soon.
Actually. Yeah, that's apparently, and that's not a Los Angeles thing.
It's not.
This is the truth.
No.
And so you know, my kids were like, let's check it out. And I sat down and I watched it. And I'll be honest, the first episode, I'm like, what sort of mushrooms are they on over here?
Yeah,
like,
we take a lot of mushrooms.
It's written, but it's just a fascinating look to it and a fascinating, you know, writing to it. And then it all together, it really is. There's nothing like it on television.
Yeah, and I just love Trenton so much, and I appreciate, I mean, I like the superhero shows and all the magic, and that's really fun.
Yeah.
But these kids' superpowers are their creativity, their intellect, and their empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they bring to the table. And it's just like, I think that's, everybody has that. You know, everybody can have that. That's not like you got to go to some magic place and get like a superpower or whatever, you know?
Right, and then congratulations on the Children's and Family Emmy Awards, the Outstanding Young Teen Series.
Yeah, we got 11 noms. Isn't that nice? Noms, guys. That's L.A. speak.
I love that.
We got some noms.
Noms.
So which other Disney stars are you going to go crush on the red carpet? Like, who else do we have in the category? Like,
I don't know. Actually, I need to look at the list. I just heard about it coming on over here.
Oh, really? It just literally happened.
This is breaking news, guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sort of like what's going on with the Brooklyn Nets and everything else going on in the world.
NFL
trade deadline, and now, you know, and our guest who shows up here.
Anytime you start talking about sports, I disassociate.
That's okay. You know what this is?
I don't know
is?
What's happening.
Here's what it is. I'll explain to you. It's called the Rich Eisen Show bump.
Okay.
We're going to take credit for it.
Okay.
Forget about the whole hard work stuff.
Okay.
Forget about what I just said about how terrific you're in this show.
Oh, okay.
And the writing is and all the...
I have to forget about that.
Or discount it.
Okay.
Don't forget it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Discount it.
Okay.
You know, but congratulations on that
Thank
too,
you.
Man.
I love coming here because I love seeing all the trinkets. You guys have a lot of trinkets on your desk.
What jumps out at you?
Oh, well,
there?
Let me get my glasses on because I saw it up close.
We got.
But there's a bald-headed doll right there. Yeah.
Actually, that. tell them what that is.
So this is a Stone Cold Steve Austin. Are you familiar with him?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. The professional wrestler. That is a piggy bank that my mom sent me like 20 years ago when I was in college.
Great.
And I since got him to autograph the head.
You got Stone Cold. To autograph the head.
Autograph his own head.
Wasn't there something like Stone Cold 316 or...
316, yes.
Austin 316.
Austin 316.
Says, I just whooped your ass.
Yeah. Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Because it's a takeoff on a bite like John 316.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay, so
you got it. That's how he came up
except
with it.
Except this one smashes beers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this is, that's involved in
well,
that,
that's
too.
Scriptural. and what's the gold situation right here?
That is a fake World Cup. Trophy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, or is that the real thing, Mike? Did you get the juice snag the real thing from Fox before you did that?
I got one. Snagged it.
It's funny. I don't see any Buster Bluth or Gary Walsh or
well,
trinkets.
That's because you haven't brought it to us.
I don't see a Benedict twin or anything like that.
Again, these are everything that you see there was brought to us by, well, no, I shouldn't say that. The cellular telephone that... Mike has from 1980. That might be might be blocking you right there. The rest of the equipment might be blocking your vision.
I don't see the cellular telephone.
Go ahead, hold it up, Mike. It's right there over your right there. That's it,
oh,
right there.
Oh wow,
right there. Tell him who autographed that.
This was autographed by Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Oh, that's
this was
cool.
My actual phone.
That is not the one that.
No, that's not his.
But did you get a wake up call from somebody like Gordon Gekko on that?
I got wake up calls on this bad boy as a production assistant.
There you go.
Tony, are you familiar with that 70s show?
Yes.
Okay, so this TV was actually the foreman's TV in their basement that they...
Oh, that's cool.
I jacked that on the last day that they shot. It was just like a ride, and people just were grabbing.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
I love that stuff.
There you go. Thank you. Tony Hale loves our set dressing right now.
I like your trinkets. Somebody asked me recently if I brought anything from Arrested Development, asked if I brought the hook, and I said no.
Where is the hook?
Because it was too hot on my hand. It was so hot, and I was like,
"So
I
what do you
that.
Have from your career?"
I brought the I grabbed Gary's bag.
So you have the satchel?
Yes.
It's an actual real deal.
I grabbed the bag.
Huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
The Leviathan.
Okay. And that's it from your entire career.
That was it. And then I think I grabbed some office things from Benedict.
Okay.
I'm like a blanket and stuff. And some of them I might have asked, and then some of them I took.
You five-finger discounted.
Cut Fantastic. To the Disney executives approaching me after I leave here.
I have some aspects of your career, Tony Hill, that I would like to know if are true or false. We have a game that we play.
Oh, I love games.
Called Celebrity True or False.
Sure.
And it comes with some...
And I'm a massive celebrity, so that works.
Well, you've been in a lot of great stuff, and you are very famous, Tony Hill. Okay, let's just jump right into it. We have great... production value that comes along with it. Here, hit it.
Well, this one's
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
There you go.
Great.
All right, first up, celebrity, true or false with Tony Hill. First up, you are occasionally recognized as the star of the famous Volkswagen commercial featuring your dancing to the song Mr. Roboto.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true or false?
I'm currently recognized for it.
Or you're often recognized as it.
I'm not.
Okay. But you were. That's false. See, everybody thinks we can only give true here. Great.
That's false.
See? You're false. Nobody comes
I'm
up
often
to you.
No, I'm never recognized for that.
Ever.
Mm-mm.
Fantastic. Can you.
What if you just listed all my credits and I just go, nope. Never recognized.
That, by the way, it would be a first, but that would be outstanding. We don't mind being wrong. This is from the internet. We're not claiming these to be true.
This is true or false.
This is why. That's exactly. It's not like what.
Sorry, I'm showing some skin today, guys. I apologize.
You look great, man. I do love the shoes and the socks and all of it together.
I went a little Pippi Longstocking today.
So, do you know the song Mr. Roboto to this day?
Uh-huh.
Like, to this day, can you?
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. But also, fun fact: it was between. Domo. I can't stop staring at myself. Is that narcissism? Maybe. It was a difference. It was a choice between that and Rock Me Amadeus.
Wow.
And they chose Mr. Roboto.
It was both? Did you do the commercial as both? And then they just, edit room made last decision?
But in my audition, I remember auditioning with Rock Me Amadeus, and I guess they saw that and they were like, scratch. And they said, we're doing Mr. Roboto.
So, okay.
And another fun fact, Phil Morrison directed that commercial, and he directed a movie called Junebug.
I've heard of that fantastic film, and I've seen it. So, but just shows your range that you're able to audition for Rock Me Amadeus. They switch you up to Mr. Roboto, and you still nailed it.
They just see me and go, he's crazy.
He's crazy. But you're not often recognized for that at all.
No, okay? I would say never.
That's false. Next one, celebrate true or false with Tony L. True or false, you fought through nerves shooting an episode of The Sopranos. That's true.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
I thought, oh.
Look at you. Oh,
my gosh.
That's you. What are you doing in this episode of The Sopranos?
Just admiring my young skin. Okay, so I played Uncle Junior's nurse giving him chemo during his cancer treatments. And I was so nervous. When I get nervous, my hands shake. Okay. That's how my nerves manifest itself.
Yes.
By the way, not shaking today because I'm fully relaxed.
Look at you.
And but when I got on set, my hands were shaking so violently that I was paranoid, because can you imagine a nurse coming up to you shaking, giving you chemo treatment?
Yes.
Terrifying. And by the grace of God, they just calmed down. And right before I did my take,
was it Dominic Chianese that made you nervous, or what was it?
I think it was just the whole idea. I'd just done commercials. I'd done very little TV, and it was The Sopranos. Like, I was like, this was like the height of it.
Of course.
And like that and Sex and the City were like the shows in New York to get. And I just got this little role, and I was like, Tony, don't screw it up. And my hands were just like, when I did plays, I would have to put weights in the cups because my hands would shake.
Damn.
From cups. Yeah.
No kidding.
I'm a broken vessel, guys.
That was my next true or false. True or false, you're a broken vessel.
I am
so
a disaster.
Let me just cross that one
Tony,
off.
Tony, you went from The Sopranos right to Sex and the City right after that.
Despite the shaking hands, you still got a call?
Oh, I started booking
Darren
games.
Darren Star's like, get that shaking hand guy?
Yeah. I was a photographer's assistant, and my name was Tiger. I'm Sex and the City.
That's true.
And I was thrilled to be on it.
Can confirm.
That confirmed, yeah. Tiger.
I'll see you were on.
Which, by the way, tracks.
Fantastic. Tony Hale, celebrity true or false. Next one. While shooting Arrested Development, you often went home inadvertently still in character as Buster Bluth. Is that true or false?
Yes, that is true, because there's a Buster was always in a state of defense and very sensitive.
Yes.
And he was a live wire of emotion.
Yes.
And I would come home, and if my wife would say something like, you know, did you do this? I'd be like, no, I didn't. Like, I was still reacting as Buster. I was like, why is it? Like very hypersensitive. And she was like, we've got to leave Buster at work. I can't be married to that.
Certainly when you got in a fetal position on the floor
exactly.
at home.
And saying? Then I started dressing in pastels, and I got really... No, but
you started
it was,
taking your family to the banana stand. It's really weird,
it was
man.
Weird.
The whole thing is weird.
I know, but it was So I definitely took it home and then stopped.
And so, who was the one that cracked everyone up the most on that show?
The one who cracked me up the most was Will Arnett, who played Job.
I mean, by the way, that just cracks me up even hearing that,
and the fact that.
David.
I think somebody called him Gob, and he was always like, it's Job. but just you take, obviously Will Arnett is so funny, but that mixed with the resonance of his voice.
Yes.
He just has that deep just sound. It was so, so funny to me. And just, he was so mean to Buster, and it was just, it was just a joy.
And David Cross too, right?
David Cross, when he would show up as Blue Man, and he thought, one of the best jokes was that he joined the Blue Man Group because he thought it was a support group for depressed men. Which is like, if there's not a better joke. And then he was like Mrs. Featherbottom, because it was like a takeoff of Miss Doubtfire. And David Cross, poor thing, he was in blue paint all the time, and he was having to take showers before he went home. And then one time, I mean, he just went through it, but he was great.
We had Henry Winkler in this chair
over
the summer.
Oh, I love that man.
And he, I was kicking myself. Obviously, I could ask him about a million things in his career.
Sure.
I forgot to ask him about Arrested Development.
You know what? He has always been an example to me. When I first moved to LA, I didn't know. I had that impression like, does everybody become a douchebag in this business and get jaded and just like, whatever, my wrong narrative in my head. And I met Henry And he is just the kindest. And I mean, he's been in it for decades and he is still so gracious and kind and giving. And it's like, I was like, oh, it's possible.
Now, he when he was here and he was talking about how, you know, his German speaking dad, you know, or Austrian, whatever, told him that he should tell Gary Marshall, you should water ski. And that's why he wound up on water skis, jumping the shark. And then the jump the shark thing came to be. And he told that whole story.
Wow.
And then he worked blue. He said, but we were on the air for 5 years, number one show after all that jump of the shark. So F him. And he said the actual word. And I'm like, oh, my God. It came out of nowhere. It was like the ultimate curveball.
Oh, I love it. I love when he jumped the shark and arrested.
Well, that show never did that, sir.
But he did. Do you remember?
Did he really do
there
that?
There was a scene. He was making a joke from what he did then.
Yeah.
There was a shark laying on the deck, and he jumped over it.
I never saw that.
His character did, yeah.
There was only, I guess, 500 episodes of the show, so yeah, I guess good. I must have missed that one. Last one for you, true or false, the writers on Veep. Wanted you guys to improvise scenes before shooting the scripts that were finalized.
We would, yeah, we would meet for like 2 weeks. Oh, there's Julia. She's the best. We would meet for 2 weeks and it was improvising, but it was more of like they wrote the scripts and they just wanted to see if they gelled, like if stuff was working. And they just weren't very precious of the words. So if we came up with stuff, they would be open to putting it in and bits and... So much fun stuff came out of that.
So when you just saw Julia Louis-Dreyfus, what was your you got a good story for her on the
I
set?
I love her, but also both of us would break so much. And one of my favorite stories is I one time couldn't stop laughing. Mm-hmm. And she says, Tony, you know, you're not watching the show. You're in the show. And I was like, yeah, but it's a funny show. And many times I would start laughing. And since I whispered her ear so much, I would just laugh right into her ear. And she's like, okay, you gotta like settle down, man. But when you're that close to someone like her and she's doing all that subtlety, it's like, it's impossible not to laugh.
I miss the show.
Oh, I do too. I do too. But whoever saw the finale, there's this, we did kind of a flash forward way ahead, and there's this huge gap of time in between. And I'm like, I would do anything to go back and have Dave Mandel write whatever happened in that gap of time. Cause I think we all would love to be together again.
Right.
Like a Veep movie?
That would be.
Oh, a movie. Sure. Anything to do with those guys.
Fill the gap movie?
All right.
Yeah.
And you'd be all in on that, right?
Oh, I'd be totally all in.
Whose idea was it for you to jump on the stage at the award show?
Oh, that was Julia's. She called me that day and she said, if I win, I want you to come and carry my purse. And of course, in my head, I'm thinking you are going to win. So terrifying. And then she she just pulled me up there and we had come up with a little bit. And then we had the idea of me whispering to thank her family.
And I just love your body language there. I mean, you were so in your character.
Well, I just worshipped her. And also, people have always said, oh, was it hard to hear the abuse from Selena to you? But Gary just heard poetry. Like, she would never say mean things to him in his mind. So he never even heard it, I don't think.
Well, I mean, I wish I could, you know, ask you your favorite curse word from the show, but we are on many other networks.
I will say,
but, I mean,
Jonah Ryan got the worst. He, who played Timothy Simons, like, I think he was... He was one time somebody said to him, you just have an odd shape. he's like, well, how do you not? That hurts, man. And then the thing is, sometimes people would make it up. And I remember Reed Scott, who played Dan.
Yes.
He comes out of nowhere. It's not even scripted. To me, he goes, hey, cow eyes. And I'm like,
wait a minute.
Cow eyes? Like this? What are you talking about, man? This is
because if that's not scripted,
I know.
Then...
And of course, for the next 2 weeks, I'm looking in the mirror like, are they cow eyes? Do I have cow eyes?
Oh my gosh. Well, again, congrats on the news you just received that you're nominated for 11 Children and Family Emmy Awards as the Outstanding Young Teen Series. I can, with the young teen in my household and two about to be, I can tell you they want
they're
you
sweet
to win.
Kids. I got a chance to meet
you
them.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, they ran into you and they're like, we ran into, you know, Mr. Benedict.
And I'm it was
like,
really
that's
fun.
So cool, man. And again, you know, Jamie Tarse is also a family friend.
Oh,
she passed away, and she's the, you know, the exec. executive producer of the show. And
I unfortunately never got a chance to meet her.
She was just a dynamic person. Yeah. And so another reason why we love watching the show. Yeah. Is her spirit definitely is in this show, man.
It is.
I can tell
it
you
is.
That for sure.
It is.
At Mr. Tony Hale on Twitter and Instagram, the 2-episode premiere is already sitting on Disney Plus. So check that out. And you can get Disney Plus right here on Roku. I know that because I loaded it onto my Roku just a few weeks ago.
Nice.
So check out this show every single Wednesday. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I love being here.
I appreciate that. I think you meant that because your hands weren't shaking.
My hands weren't shaking. I'm fully relaxed.
Fantastic. Tony Hale here on The Rich Eisen Show. Again, check out this awesome show, The Mysterious Benedict Society. We're back to see if anything else fell apart in the sports world while we had that conversation. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. I'm telling you, when you open up one of those babies, you're more than opening than just doors. You're unlocking the potential to do your own thing and be your own boss and see your own success and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set to help you follow your own passions and reawaken that spirit of adventure and check all those big bun fold and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. Because when you own a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you can live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they're going to take you. 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, thousands of ways to customize, and now available in an all-wheel drive. A Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Another trade to talk about.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, the Denver Broncos just played their final game with Bradley Chubb on their team. They've just traded him to the Miami Dolphins. Ooh. The Miami Dolphins adding a premier pass rusher to their mix. And they flipped a first-round pick to Denver to do it.
Yep.
So, what does this mean? Miami no longer has a first-round pick in 2023. It's not their own that they traded because they, you love this word, Chris, forfeited that.
Yeah.
They forfeited it.
Sure.
In the punishment for tampering with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's been involved in 2 forfeited first-round picks now. Deflategate and this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, the interesting thing is that Brady could have had really nothing directly involved in both of them. Didn't tell somebody to purposely deflate footballs. Right?
Well,
should I go in that direction?
Questionable if that ever happened, but keep going.
At any rate, Miami forfeited their pick. And the pick that they just sent is the one they got from the 49ers in the Trey Lance trade. Yeah. So the final pick of the first round pick of the Trey Lance deal belongs to Denver, which didn't have a first-round pick of their own because they flipped it to Seattle for Russell Wilson.
Unreal.
So there you have it. Chase Edmonds is in the package too, right?
Chase Edmonds, yeah, he's going to Denver as well.
So it's the Raheem Mostert show there. I guess Miles Gaskin is now going to take those snaps. And Chase Edmonds goes to Denver, where I guess he'll be the next one to sit there and watch Mike Boone take his reps. I don't know.
Mike Boone's out for a little bit.
I know that.
I know.
He's out. And it's, so it'll be Latavius Murray and Melvin Gordon and Chase Edmonds in Denver. Bradley Chubb and a fifth-round pick in 2025, a fourth-round pick in 2024, and next year's first-round pick that they had from San Francisco. That pick, I believe, will get appreciably worse, but there you have it.
All right, so here this is from Albert Breer just now. So they the Dolphins gave up got three first-rounders, from the 49ers for Trey Lance. They traded all three of them for Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb.
Not bad. Got to tell you.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. You got the two potentially best receivers as a tandem in the NFL right now.
And a 26-year-old pass rusher.
And if they just believed in Tua to begin with, they would have not had a forfeited pick. Would they? Right? They just stuck with the tanking for Tua plan. They'd still have the 24th overall pick as it currently stands in the NFL draft next year. It wouldn't be forfeited, but that's for another day. Not a bad way to go about your business. And again, and this is the era of F them picks. Do you think you'd have been able to get Tyreek Hill with that first round pick or anybody similar to that talent at the level that he's currently coming in? It'd have been much less expensive, I understand, but ask me now how Tennessee feels about trading away A.J. Brown for a rookie who has the same height, weight, and speed who's still sitting on IR with turf toe injury and Treylon Burks. How that would look, A.J. Brown on the Tennessee Titans right now. So I don't mind it, man. You're trading first-round pick for Bradley Chubb. He's going to go rush the passer right here, right now. You go in your locker room and you say, we think we can win this division and this conference and this Super Bowl. Because who the hell is going to stop us? And if we put your quarterback on his back, we give that defense 24-31 a game. Look out. And Denver, sitting at 3-5, gets a first-round pick back. If they thought Bradley Chubb wasn't going to stick around, they don't want to pay him any money, then there's that. Denver's on its bye. Didn't need him this week anyway. Miami gets him. Tyreek Hill, am I reading this right?
I just saw that.
That's a new one. That's a great clip and save.
Oh, that's great.
Am I reading this right? Yes, you are, awesome. Cheetah. Say that again. You got to flip your
he
mic.
And Steph Diggs, tremendous tweeters, tremendous wide receivers.
I mean, there they go. Stephon fantastic. Diggs with the
am I reading this?
The amazing. Hell going on. I mean, by the way, in response to Tyreek Hill
getting traded.
Yes.
And now on trade deadline day, Bradley Chubb comes. Am I reading this right?
I mean,
fantastic.
Amazing.
That's a new one for us to keep on cycling through, just like the hell going on.
You, I mean, you know I hate Twitter, but on this occasion like this, I do find it
very good.
Yeah.
But how did you see that, though, TJ, since you came?
Oh, I didn't. Just now I just saw it.
Saw it on the screen. Just, am I reading this right?
TJ can still
see. You are. So you got a team in Chicago that trades away a top-notch pass rusher and one of the best middle linebackers in the sport. And then turns around using a second-round choice they got from the best linebacker in the sport being traded away to Baltimore. Take that and actually use it in a trade to get a wide receiver now for a team that you think they're giving up on for this year because they gave away Robert Quinn and gave away Roquan Smith and Chase Claypool is a Bear. But the best part about that, in the same way that the San Francisco 49ers not only got Christian McCaffrey but kept him from the Rams, they get Chase Claypool in Chicago and keep him from Green Bay and send that right into Cheesehead Nation. Say, oh, you think your team needs wide receivers and Aaron Rodgers thinks he needs more wide receiver help. Well, we got the guy you wanted. And you got, what's the word for it? Bupkis. We got Bupkis. You got Bupkis.
Nice.
For the moment. will come back on the air tomorrow, and maybe there'll be a trade where we're wondering, am I reading this right?